Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pets, People, Life, and Longevity. I am Jan Jeremias, and I am here with my canine companion, my buddy, Tonka. A little bit about me. I'm a trained scientist who began exploring holistic and alternative healing about 18 years ago. I began my journey with the use of essential oils and began exploring modalities such as Reiki, gentle massage, and some other energy work. For pets and people too. I'm the co-author of the top-selling essential oil book for pets called Spoil Your Pet, a practical guide to using essential oils in dogs and cats. And so today I have a new friend here, Lisa, and I'm so excited. I have to tell you a little bit about how I decided to connect with her. I have heard about hair testing forever, being in the holistic world. I think you go to people and, or you see practitioners and they'll say, you know, you really should have, you know, you should go for hair testing. And I don't know why it was on my mind, or I don't even know if it was on my mind. And then one day I had somebody talking to me about a pet with an issue. And I came upon Lisa's profile and it said hair testing. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if they can do hair testing on pets, because she didn't really know what the issue was and what, how to help her dog. So I reached out to Lisa and here we are. So Lisa, I'm really curious, because I assume that this, I don't know how long you've been doing this, but I assume this wasn't your original kind of path, or maybe it was. And I want to hear about how that started.
I was in a corporate world for a long time and it beat me down literally close to death with the stress. Quit my job. I had had an infertility issue for a year. And as soon as I quit my job, I got pregnant and had 4 babies in 5 years. So then I was even more exhausted. And I discovered hair analysis because the doctors put me through their whole literal treadmill for a heart test. And I figured they're going to kill me testing me. They couldn't figure it out. So they dismissed me and said, well, you should maybe see a psychologist. And I'm like, this is not in my head. I know you have Holter monitor proof. I know, just because you don't know what it is. So anyhow, I fell into hair analysis because a friend of mine, her mother had been doing this for 30 years almost, with the developer and biochemist that created Analytical Research Lab. So we tested my hair, come to find out my sodium potassium was so low, I couldn't regulate my heart. And your blood work will look okay because it's stealing out of your cells the minerals that it needs. And once it starts to go to bankruptcy and there's nowhere else to draw from, you'll have symptoms. But if you don't catch it soon enough, you could have a heart attack or a stroke, or, you know, that's how I fell into this essentially. And when she was going to retire, I was afraid I'd die again and panicked. And she said, it's okay. Let's get you trained and connected. And so I mentored under her and took over her business.
Wow. I think it's always so interesting how blood work can be so not indicative of really what's going on. And I always say to people, I was a lab director. And so I always say to people, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard, you know, your blood work's perfect. And then the person does not feel great. And it's kind of like, what's going on? And I've had that myself where I've sat in the doctor's office and my doctor will say, oh, your blood works wonderful. And I'll be like, yeah, but I don't feel well. And that's when the whole like must be in your head. It's your imagination. You're under too much stress comes in. And I'm not saying that those things don't play a part. I just don't think they're always the answer. So that's so interesting.
I look at the blood work like a Polaroid picture of what is happening right now. Whereas the hair analysis is a month long mini movie of what's really been going on at the deepest level.
Mm, really interesting. Mm-hmm. I've started doing carotenoid levels from the skin. Mm-hmm. So it's also very similar because it's measuring basically micronutrients. It's made of, you know, it's measuring beta carotenoids in the skin, which might, you know, it is indicative of the blood, but most people don't have blood work for beta carotenoids. And then, so it's really interesting to find people who have really healthy diets, or what is quote unquote healthy these days, with our food sources the way they are, but healthy diets who really have very low carotenoid levels. Mm-hmm. And it's probably due to absorption and, you know, nutrition in the food, the vitamin and carotenoid levels in the actual food that we're eating these days. So really, so the discrepancy is there sometimes. And that's really
a lot of factors. Yeah.
A lot of factors. Mm-hmm. So what's involved with hair testing, and when do you test? Why would someone want hair testing done? Especially in a pet.
Yeah. They're similar to us in the way that we're all made of minerals. So if we're eating a bad diet and the dog is eating Old Roy Walmart dog food, we're not getting the best quality of nutrition. And like you mentioned, the soil is depleted. So even though you have possibly a good quality vegetable, there wasn't a lot of minerals for it to be soaked into that veggie. So they have deficiencies just like we do, similar. And they need supplementation because they can't eat that many vegetables in their diet for sure. We can't eat like 3 heads of broccoli every morning and 2 for kale for lunch, you know, we just can't. So we need that supplementation for the deficits. And then we can look at heavy metal toxicity that is not addressed. Those metals affect us behaviorally. Mm-hmm. They do affect us spiritually, mentally, physically. So we're a lot alike with our animals and our pets. They're drinking the same water that we are, so we're affected in the same manner.
It's very interesting because I think that many years ago, I remember going to a doctor of Chinese medicine, and he wanted me to eat, like, I don't know how, you know, he told me how many like pounds of cilantro to eat a day and all these things. And first of all, I would have been in the poorhouse trying to buy organic. Like, imagine that's one day, you know, how many heads of kale, like you said, and 2 bunches of broccoli. Like, most people cannot afford to eat organic that every day anyway, because it's cost prohibitive.
And digestion.
Right. You know, exactly.
If you have a gut issue, you aren't going to digest all that fiber.
Right. Right. You're not going to digest it. And even if you have anything that's sort of like involved with the integrity of the gut, it's also not going to absorb. No. And so you're at a deficit there. So really, really interesting. How long does it take for the hair analysis process? And so what type of hair do you take?
People, we usually cut in the back of your hair so nobody can see where you've taken the sample. It's underneath everything. And we take it at the root, and it's from the root out about 1/4 to 1/2 inch is what we grow in a month. With animals, we'll take it the back of the neck. Horses, we'll take it on the top of their mane up there. And cattle, what we'll do, sometimes I've done a few herds of cattle to see where their mineral deficit is at. We'll mix a couple of different cows together so that one cow isn't dominant and they're on the licking block of the mineral block, you know. So we'll mix up cattle like that. But the horses, cats, dogs, we'll just take up the nape of their neck and just like human, cut their hair.
Oh, okay. And then what do you do? Just package it up and then send it off to get tested, basically?
Yep. I send out a paper hair kit. It's basically a 1-sheet piece of paper with the symptoms on there. and then an envelope to put the sample in and a little tag board scale to make sure you have enough. And it's actually enough to do two tests. So I've had occasions where something is really high on people and pets, and they'll run it a second time just to make sure it wasn't a mechanical error of any kind, which it never is. But they double check the work that way if something's very, very high.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
It takes about a week and a half to get the results back after you mail it right to the lab.
Uh-huh. And is it often that you, well, I would assume it might be kind of often that you get pets and people that actually are quite similar because mm-hmm. you live in the same environment.
Yeah. Mineral levels are usually similar. The animals will have a higher phosphorus level because they eat more protein than people usually. They have a higher protein diet, but the heavy metals will show up, especially if it's environmental, like in their water source.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's obvious they both parallel each other.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And probably air quality, you know, and breathing in certain things. And if depending on where you live.
And sometimes the animals will be higher. For instance, say someone lives near a golf course and they're like, oh, I love walking my dog by the golf course. Golf courses will use Milorganite for fertilizer on their golf course, which is high in aluminum. And their pets are touching it with their feet and then they lick their feet. So they have a way higher amount of aluminum than their owner from exposure.
Exposure. Yeah. I always talk about that because, you know, being a pet person and walking pets all, you know, all the time, whether it be my own or other people, I try to be careful and avoid pesticide treated lawns, but still there's rain and runoff and they go through puddles and whatnot. Plus there's other like car exhaust and oil and stuff that ends up in the water. And I always tell people, I mean, this is not perfect, but at least when you get home, wipe them down, like wipe down the bottoms of their paws, because then at least maybe they're not licking it as much and they're not consuming it that way. To me, it would probably be also very interesting, like, just because I just came into my mind, what about smokers? Like as far as hair mineral testing and what tends to be high? And I'm assuming the pets would be similar because they actually are greatly affected by secondhand cigarette smoke.
Cadmium for sure. Cadmium is very high in smoke. Nickel, that'll show up high. And they're getting the secondhand smoke through their lung, which is going into their blood. It'll be lower than the smoker, but it'll still show up. Same thing with marijuana. Even in medicinal, it'll show up if the pet is smoking, you know, they're smoking it by their pet and the pet's inhaling it, or it settles, which is called third hand smoke.
Right.
And it's on the carpet, in the furniture. Okay. So they will get an effect of that heavy metal in them.
Yeah. We talk a lot. My co-author on my book and I talk about that a lot with people just because they're actually ingesting because they groom themselves and it settles on their fur. So they actually consume it, let alone breathe it in. Kind of nauseating, but makes me think of infants all the time. It's really no different than babies that crawl on carpets or on sofas and then put their hands in their mouth or whatever. And,
Hold their nose.
That's right. They can't hold their nose. Have you ever done babies?
Yes. Yep. I've done babies. Sometimes I'll have moms that are infertile and we'll do a copper detoxification and then she'll get pregnant and I monitor and have her on supplements throughout her pregnancy. When baby's born and has enough hair to sample, that usually takes about 3 to 6 months to get baby hair. We'll test the baby and see where they're at. And we'll crush up supplements and put it in mom's milk when she expresses, if she breastfeeds. So babies get their own mini tiny program to keep their body and immune system healthy.
It'll be interesting to do puppies. I'm just thinking it would be really interesting.
Typically the puppies and human babies will inherit mother's toxications. Mm-hmm. The body sees it as an extra organ to deposit copper toxicity or whatever heavy metal it can't deposit anymore anywhere else. So we'll see the baby come out with the same toxicity as mama.
Well, yeah. When I was in my previous career, I worked in OBGYN. And so we used to see a lot of, you know, there were always a lot of papers out there about, you know, transfer chemicals and toxins in utero and, you know, sampling through the umbilical cord and actually looking for things like organophosphates and things like that, mm-hmm. which, you know, sadly happen a lot. So once someone becomes like tests and whatever shows up and you kind of design a program that's going to mm-hmm. help them get rid of, is it always supplementation or is it worked through diet too and both? And
diet first. Our food is our medicine. So with humans, I dictated on their metabolism, and the supplements are based off of the metabolism or oxidation rate as well. But humans, it will tell them how much fat that they need to take in. So someone who's a fast oxidizer is like a little kid that's hot all the time. And a lot of animals are until they get older, and they burn through fat very quickly, and they need that fat to calm down their adrenals and slow their energy levels. Mm-hmm. Whereas someone who's a slow oxidizer, older, their cold hands and feet, maybe drier skin, they need only about 2 tablespoons of fat a day because it clogs up their liver. Same thing with animals. They need that balance with fat, protein, and they do need cooked vegetables where the nutrients come out.
Right. So, yeah.
Similar, just a little bit different. And, you know, the supplement is kind of like your crutch to pick up the slack where you can't get enough in your food.
Got it. Mm-hmm. That makes complete sense.
And water, water's a big deal. I do focus on what source of water people are drinking. I just published on LinkedIn a few days ago, Chicago has a lead poisoning problem with their municipal water, just like Flint, Michigan had.
Wow.
So you have to be very careful with your clean water source. I like spring water because it's naturally mineralized, but you have to be careful because product brands like Ice Mountain, which is made by Nestle, will add fluoride and not put that on the label.
Oh, good to know.
Yep. You have to watch who is the source. Walmart, I've called their distribution. They have one in the north, one in the south of America. I've called both of them to make sure and ask for an EPA water test. They will publicly give that to you. It's about 10 pages. And they guaranteed that they didn't add fluoride to their water.
Oh, interesting. I mean, nothing surprises me. What can I say?
Working and you know, it's great to do is get a quality spring water and put it for your pet and then put the tap water, hopefully you're not giving them that, or some kind of water and let them choose. If you want to get really in depth, you can give them a third bowl with distilled water and that will capture heavy metals if they're detoxifying it and let them choose. They will pick the one that they need. And they smell so much better than we do. They know when there's something funky in the water.
Yeah. I realized that when, I think I mentioned to you, I moved about a year and a half ago. And for some reason, I mean, I used to think my dog Tonka was a camel, like he would never drink. And I would put liquid in his food because I was afraid. I mean, he would come in after a day out in the sun and wouldn't drink a thing. And I'd be like, buddy, you got to drink. You must be thirsty. And I moved and now I have to fill the water bowl up like 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking to myself, like, I can't imagine what was in that water that he was drinking. And I'd been drinking for years. I mean, I lived in that house for like, and I'm not saying it was always there. It could have been the fact that, you know, the house was over 60 years old. And so the pipes were over 60 years old and all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of like scares me to think about. And I'm really happy, you know, I'm like, okay.
He was trying to say, mom,
that's right.
Not right.
That's right. And I was like, duh, you know, I should have paid attention more. And I think now when I navigate or things like that happen, I'm much more aware and that's how we learn. Mm-hmm. But I'm like sitting there and I'm like, oh, I wish I had realized, but it's so interesting because they will really discern and they know it's like, okay, don't want that.
Same thing with your refrigerator. A lot of people don't think about this. Usually there's plastic piping in the back of the refrigerator filter. If you have an ice cube maker or you have water.
Right.
But before that you could have copper water pipes and that water can sit in there for 12 hours or more. And then it comes into your fridge and you take it, or it's making ice cubes. And then you drink a very concentrated water full of copper that's saturated the water.
If some, like for certain things that you tend to, let's say that would be high in water, and I don't know if they're standard things, what might be some of the symptoms that somebody might have? Like, would there be obvious symptoms like headaches or, you know, would there be things like that occur?
Copper, it's kind of like our friend and not our, you know, we need it. We need it for our red blood supply and to kill bacteria and such. But when you have it in mass, it can cause anxiety, mood swings, very erratic moods, like PMS, you know. So 1 minute you're like, oh, a squirrel. And the next you're like, oh, a squirrel got hit, you know. So you're just all over the board. Rashes are a big thing with copper, mercury. It just depends what's in your water.
Wow.
I'm in Minnesota. We have high manganese in our aqueducts. Wisconsin, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, certain areas of the country have different higher metals in their water systems. California's high in copper, and you can see it because they have a little bit of reddish to their fields.
Mm-hmm.
They're very creative people, and it does create creativity in us. I have had someone detox that they were an artist and they kind of lost some of their creativity with their art.
Oh, interesting.
But overall, I mean, their health really improved and their moods weren't all over the place and erratic, you know. So it does control our behavior. So maybe a pet seems depressed and maybe the owner has depression, and it could be simply biochemically affected from water source or a heavy metal toxicity.
Right. Or a combination of that plus, you know, and
nutrient deficiency.
It's a nutrient deficiency, that bond thing where they're around each other all the time. And I think animals pick up on that energy all the time. They're just a mirror of who we are. So however we are is how they are. So I'm just going to pause for a second. Okay. That's good. That was nice and short. So, if somebody has it and they start to implement some sort of protocol to try to decrease them, how often should they get retested? And because you said it takes about a month to show up, like it's like a movie of like your hair. So how long should it be before you get retested?
In humans and in animals are a little faster, but in humans, if you have a fast metabolism after your first test, 3 months later, we're going to check in and see what's changed, because your metabolism is going to use all this extra nutrients really quickly, and it's going to rebuild and start to detox itself, because that's why we become toxic, is we don't have the minerals to move and clean house. So once we rebuild those nutrient levels, it can start to naturally detoxify itself. If it's a slow metabolism type of person, we'll wait till 4 months, give them a little extra time to catch up. And then after that, we'll check back in every 4 to 6 months. So maybe twice a year, we'll check in and say, you know, where's your metabolism and your health wise? And what do we have to shift for your supplementations?
And so, because I do know that pet metabolism and even pet, even the difference between dogs and cats, because cats have very different metabolism as far as processing toxins and things like that. So would it be similar? Yeah, we haven't really talked about cats that much. So
cats do progress a little bit slower. They don't move around as much as the dog. But if they're fast, or if they're borderlining on high sugar, blood cellular sugar versus the blood sugar, then I would probably check them sooner in case they're getting towards that diabetic tip.
Right.
So the ratios on the hair test, like calcium, magnesium, will tell me how much glucose is trapped in their cell. If they're like a pre-diabetic state down the road, a trend that's coming. I can look at their thyroid, their adrenal function, and then what their cellular health is like. So we all have two fatty layers around each cell.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too thick, we're not able to get the nutrients and oxygen and good stuff in there. And then the garbage that's left over after we make our energy, the ATP, is stuck. So we can't push that out. So we want to have the optimal sodium to potassium ratio so that we can have great cells to do all the jobs.
And standard, how much is a to get tested animal, like animal and people? And are retests the same amount, or is it different because you're not looking for as many things or something?
People are $195 for the basic start. And what I do with that is I make sure that they at least leave with two things. One, they know what supplements they need. I have a lot of people come to me and they got a hair test done cheap online for like $80-$90, but they have no idea what to do with it. You know, no one's shared it with them. So I want to let them know, this is the supplements that you need to correct your imbalances in your minerals. And then I go over the graph and I explain each one of the minerals, your electrolytes, your heavy metals, your, you know, like I said, glucose, thyroid, adrenals. And this is why we have these supplements recommended for you. That's the basic. That's $195. Pets, same scenario, but they're $75. They're not as in-depth as a human. And they're obviously not going to do a lot of detox. Their body will do it on their own. They don't need the extra external help like we do.
Now, just because now I'm thinking and the scientist in me is kicking in and I'm thinking to myself, do certain ailments or issues manifest? Like, are there patterns? I would assume you might see patterns. Like you talked about, you can see diabetes or thyroid disease or something, you know, what's up with the adrenals. So I'm thinking to myself that there must be certain kind of patterns in people or in animals that have certain health issues.
Yeah, there is. There are mineral patterns, and there's at least 20 to 40 patterns that I can look at and figure out. And that's the fun part I love to do with human people, because I can look at their hair and go, oh, you must be a type A personality and this, this, and this. And they're like, how did you know that? Like, your mineral and your body tells me that. Your biochemistry will tell me a lot about your personality. There are people that are energy vampires. And I know that sounds a little woo-woo for some people, but you can tell they kind of suck energy from others. And that's what they're feeding their fast metabolism with. And if you've ever talked to somebody and after the conversation, you feel just drained and wiped out in every way, and you have to recover a little while every time you encounter this person.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's like an internal clue, but there's a lot of patterns that I can see on there and figure out how somebody biochemically behaves or how they operate throughout their day. Mm-hmm. And the animals can reflect that too. If they're really anxious and they're hyper, and you can see it right in their hair pattern. They don't have those calming minerals on board.
That's so interesting. I love this because this is so up my alley. I'm like, you know, I'm like, okay, this, this, and this. I'll go and finish with questions and I'll get back. So you said you've tested cattle, horses, cats, dogs, anything else that you haven't sort of shared that you've tested any animals? Like, have you ever done any birds or anything like that? I don't really do that much bird work myself, even though, I mean, people talk to me, but bird anatomy and bird physiology is very different than most mammal type physiology. So
I haven't done birds because it's a hair test and they have feathers, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Really done rodents or anything like that. We did have I don't want to even say gentleman, years and years ago, he had falsely sent in dog hair and labeled it as human hair. And then he said hair analysis was quackery. So he was a really shady guy. And people do that. Medical doctor, I think he was a medical doctor, but you know, people will do that to try and discount that it works. I don't know what their beef is, but it is the biochemistry. The thing that I love about it is it's science-based, and it's not an opinion from anybody or me. You send the hair to the lab sends me the results. There's no in between there. I haven't touched it. It isn't my opinion. It is what it is. If you're low on your minerals, I didn't do that. I didn't manipulate anything. I can just analyze it and tell you how to correct it.
I'm thinking, well, you're looking at hair, but since you can see everything, I'm thinking about one of the most mineral dense parts of the body I can think of are the bones. Mm-hmm. And so things like weak bones or osteoporosis or osteopenia, where you start losing minerals out of the bone and it's basically they're leaching out. Mm-hmm. And one of the things coming from my background that I do, because I do teach a class, yoga for strong bones and osteoporosis. And so I'm thinking about that that it will improve bone integrity. And that kind of intrigues me now with what you're saying about hair analysis.
Mercury, for example, will trigger osteoporosis, arteriosclerosis, circulatory migraines, kidney issues. There's just a long list of mercury. Many people have silver fillings. They're off-gassing every time they chew. The off-gas gets in the air too. So maybe your pets, if your pets are close to you, there's all kinds of sources of it, you know? But yeah, for sure. It's in your bones. So the way I like to explain it is, if we're going to start to rebuild and detoxify you, we're going to go to your basement. We're going to take out the crusty, crumbly cinder blocks, dig those out. And then we're going to put back the mineral that should have been there, that oxidized and turned cruddy. And now you're stronger than you used to be because you have a fortified brand new block in there. So we want to rebuild the bones, the cells, the tissues, everything, just like a factory rebuild.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time talking to people about, you know, the favorite bones, and then connective tissue is like very big, especially in the sort of not since the movement realm now, like the fascia and the, you know, the muscles, like all the connective tissue that lines the body, which people don't think about hydrating, like you need, it takes in water, you know, it's like there's all these things that happen to help you move more easily, sort of like lubricating, you know, a good joint. And so that, and I'm very also really, I get a lot of, I mean, probably the big things I speak to people about with pet related health issues are, sort of like discomfort or pain management. That's usually big. And a lot of that's age related, just because, you know, as pets age, they develop soreness or their joints are a little creaky, just like ours. And then related to weight, which is a huge issue in this country of, you know, not only obese people, but overweight and obese pets, where it's become kind of like an epidemic in the animal world. This, you know, it's now rated, I think, as like the top health issue in pets is actually weight.
People
too. And it's no different, which is very scary to me. And so do you have, now I know you have a lot of pets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have like the land of misfit pets here. I think I shared with you, like, horses people can't afford anymore. And I was always a horse girl. I know, I'm like, sure, I'll take it. I've taken in roosters that people didn't want anymore. We've taken guinea pigs. We had 4 guinea pigs at one time. Oh, they're stinkers. lizards. Not that I like lizards, but yeah, we've had something of everything here. Cats, dogs. Yeah. I love my animals. I really do. So yeah. I just take them. If no one wants them, I'll find them a home or I'll take them.
Yeah, me too. I was saying, I can't imagine. Ever since I think I've been an adult and on my own, basically not, you know, sharing an apartment with a whole bunch of roommates, I've had a pet, and I can't imagine my life without at least one.
They're so healing. They're so healing, you know, everyone. I don't ride my horses often, but they're the best therapy I have because they have 4 on the floor. Their hooves are touching that ground and they are more grounded than any animal except a cow. And I can go out and hold them and love on them and cuddle them. And I'm just re-energized and they just suck all that negative out. They completely remagnetize me, just holding, touching, loving, you know, they're amazing animals. And our dogs do the same. You know, they're constant comfort.
That reminds me. And as you said that, I thought to myself, since most people these days never touch the ground because they're wearing shoes all the time and they're not going barefoot and they're not outside. I grew up in a pretty rural area. So I always thought, you know, I said my feet were like, you know, leather, the bottoms of my feet, you know, and we spent the whole summer. I don't think I remember going, and my mother would tell us we had to put on shoes and we would be like, oh my gosh, we've got to wear shoes. like such a, no, exactly. And so I'm thinking to myself, like just drawing that energy up and the minerals from the earth, which very few people do these days. I mean, some people do it, you know, when they fly afterwards, they want to ground and, and they'll walk on like the grass or dirt. But besides for that, I don't know that many people that actually go out and walk on the grass and in the dirt.
Make a point of it if you can. And where are you living? What state do you live in?
And now I live in Connecticut.
Okay, so you're cold like me. I'm in Minnesota. So I say we live in a cave except for 3 months a year. So get grounding mats. They're phenomenal. Nikan, they've been around for like 40 years. Mm-hmm. They have shoe insoles. And you can put them in your shoes and they have magnets in there and acupressure points. So all day long, you can be walking, getting acupressure, you're grounded. You can get a mat for your dog to lay on and they navigate to it. They'll just go over there. You can get mats to sit on during the day. I have to do it because I can't get out in the snow, obviously, and put my feet down.
Oh, good point. And I do love the idea about using them with pets. I have recommended that to some people, that grounding, especially in an anxious dog. I feel like it's just kind
and
of.
And we can get into a whole rabbit trail on the 5G Wi-Fi.
Oh,
that's affecting everything alive. So we need that to get away from it. We need the grounding. We need to reset. You know, if you're in an apartment building, you're getting that from everywhere all around you. Everybody has a modem or a Wi-Fi or a cell phone. So your pet will probably live on that mat if you get it for them.
And just the idea of unplugging, I always say, you know, they always say that when your computer doesn't work, unplug it or turn it off. And I feel like we need the same thing. We need to unplug.
I found, I have to keep this on file, but I found the most fascinating read one time. It was the science of trees. And they prove that when you walk through the trees, there's a lot of magnetic positive poles between the trees. And I'm like, that's what tree huggers were on too.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a scientific thing. It really is healing.
It is healing. And the whole idea of in Asia where they do forest bathing, that whole idea of spending time in the forest and just taking the time and, you know, and then even if you look at right now, I haven't been hiking that much where I live and it's been a very dry summer for us. And so there were a lot of rattlesnakes out. So a number of dogs got snake bites. So I kind of stay away from the trails, but as the weather gets colder, I love to go hiking. And I mean, just to watch my dog hike is always fun. Like, first of all, for every mile I do, he does three, because he's not on leash and he's going back and forth and back and forth. And he just, the joy is just like, okay, mom, I'm in my element. You know, I'm in nature. I'm touching the ground. I'm running.
He's refilling his tank.
And so are we when we're out in that.
You know? In the sunshine, it's just great.
And what about things like, I mean, we could go on forever, but what about like ocean water? Because I'm figuring that the salts from the water must be very good at replenishing those minerals or just, you know, acclimating the mineral content of the body.
Even in the ocean breeze, how fresh it is, it's water washed air. So all of the gunk and pollution, it's washed by the air and that's why it's so fresh. And then the salt, the mineralization in the fresh water, even if you're not getting it ingested, it still get down on your skin. You'll soak in magnesium, sodium. Everybody feels better at the beach because you're getting remineralized. You know, we're not drinking it. So if there's microplastics, we're not ingesting it, but you know, we're soaking in the minerals.
Yeah, a huge issue with microplastics, and that's just beyond these days. And they don't see much end to it. And so kind of do what we can to eliminate it, which is also my feeling about household chemicals and toxins and things like that. It's like, I can't control what's outside so well, but I can't control what's inside my home. And that, you know, and we could take that, I can control what's in my body. That's my house, basically. And my pet's house, their immediate physical health or well-being.
That's one of the things I do with my clients in the wellness program too. I'll break down the products that they put on their body and all the chemicals they're exposed to. And I put it on a spreadsheet to show them just how many times they're exposed to formaldehydes and carcinogenics and hormone disruptors. And not, I mean, if you're doing hairspray, your pet's going to smell that or get it on their paws. If you're cleaning your house with bleach or Lysol or whatever, the chemicals are still there. They're still going to absorb some of that. So if you shift it for yourself, you're also benefiting your animals.
Well, I remember the thing that kind of woke me up one day. I had cats for 30 years, and a few of my cats were always counter surfers. They would like jump on the counters all the time. And which in the beginning kind of freaked me out, but then you kind of learn that I had no control, because when I left the house, they were doing what they wanted anyway. So it wasn't worth the effort.
Free for all.
Free for all. Exactly. But I remember it drove me nuts. And so I would constantly be wiping the counters because I didn't want, you know, who knows what was on their feet from the litter box and everything. And so I remember one day spraying the counter. I remember the cleaner I was using, but I won't say what it was. Mm-hmm. And my cat walked across it right through it. And sat on the other side and started to groom, like lick his paws. And I remember thinking to myself, this can't be good. Like this, like it just so like all of a sudden it was like this bolt like, oh, that went through me. And I was like, oh, and I threw everything away and I was like, don't need it. It's not necessary. And I don't want to do it. And it was like, but it was very alarming. And now with my co-author of my book, who's a veterinarian, and said one of the leading causes of seizures in a lot of her clients are household cleaners.
Chemicals.
And household, you know, cleaners or air fresheners are a big thing. She had a cat that was having seizures from scented garbage bags, and they couldn't figure out what it was. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, the artificial fragrance they were using in the garbage bags that was triggering seizures in this cat. So
think of the long time that cat built up to that chemical sensitivity too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just as a good reminder, because that kind of thing we can control.
And our pets are our canaries in the coal mine.
Yes, they are.
They are. They're going to be very receptive and let us know really quickly what's going bad. And if we are not paying attention, you know, by the time they get diagnosed with something, we're probably well on our way.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I can think of so many times people have said to me, oh, you know, I have this, but my pet also has this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and which made so much years later, I always thought it was energetic, because I was like, oh, okay, energetically, what's that mean? And what is it, you know, between the two, which could be minerals anyway, but I thought it was energetic. I was thinking energy, but then years later realizing, you know, microbiome, you know, pets' microbiomes very similar to ours. And that's what they found. They change. Basically, it'll be quite similar between people and pets. And so that makes sense too, because of susceptibility to infection or things like that. So it's really very interesting. Well,
I've had people give animals, you know, like sauerkraut, you know, just get the boost of probiotics in the little tummy. You know, they just need a little bump once in a while, just put a little on their food. And if you think about how things have shifted from like the 70s, maybe the 80s, they didn't eat the processed garbagey food so much. You know, we gave them our extra veggies that were cooked. We gave them maybe a little bit of animal fat, the raw beef bone, you know, they don't get the collagen in that. They don't get to sit and chew and get that marrow out of the bones anymore like they used to.
You reminded me of my grandmother who used to give, I didn't have a dog then, but my grandmother used to give her dog marrow bones all the time.
Mm-hmm. And that'll keep them busy for like 2 hours.
All the time.
Yeah. And you want the raw ones, you know, they won't splinter and they'll just chew them all. Get all that goodness out of them. And I would say if you're going to give your dog treats, try and get a really good quality organic bone, so they're not eating all the heavy metals that are in the animal bone for commercial feed.
Yeah. I had a woman on that I spoke to the beginning of the week who actually works with an organic pet food company. And we got into the whole conversation about food quality and, mm-hmm. and treats. And I think treats are almost even worse than pet food sometimes, because it's really junk food basically for pets, a lot of treats. And that's exactly, it's the equivalent of us taking a bag of Doritos or something, you know, it's really not good. And it's also attributed to quite a bit of the weight issue in pets. I think this whole idea that you have to, like, you've been gone all day, so your pet needs to get fit, like get a treat when you get home. And I've never, I mean, my dog is so lean and so thin, it's not an issue, but, and he does get treats, you know, but I'm also really careful because this is what I do, yeah. You know, but a lot of people are not. And I've never been a huge advocate of, okay, he can't eat at the table. Like he has to, it's in his bowl if he gets anything like that. And because I don't want begging.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I love that idea of giving certain things. Like for a long time, I remember Tonka used to get kefir, which is very similar, probiotics, you know, that was just my source. And he's always gotten veggies. Like that's just partly probably because I'm a vegetarian. So it's just automatic. I figured that he needed vegetables too. Why was he any different? So
they should have 40-50% cooked veggie and 40-60% meat. You'll find the right balance with your pet. And they need some healthy fats. You know, if you think about an animal, our dogs are different than wolves. The gut flora has changed significantly, but you know, they would eat raw meat and scavenge for other things. They do eat grasses and things, you know, if their stomach is sick, they'll eat grasses, but the vegetables are going to give them the nutrients that they lack. And the animals that they would kill nowadays are just as unhealthy as we are and not as full of the dense nutrients as they were 30, 40 years ago.
So, well, I was talking to I have a traditional Chinese medicine vet that I go to.
Nice.
And I was talking to her one day and I was commenting that we had such a hot summer and that Tonka likes to lay in the sun. Like it'll be so hot and I'll be like, buddy. And she said, that's because of the heat is really good for digestion. And so they're absorbed heat, that body heat is, he's utilizing that heat. And I was like, oh,
aren't they smart?
They're so smart. They're so smart.
They're in tune to their body.
That's right. They're so in touch with their body. They're so well, like as far as space or area in a house, which feels safe, like, you know, or protected. Yeah. You know, certain places that Tonka always goes when there's a storm. It's kind of like, this is, you know, I feel like this is the safest part of the house. Mm-hmm. And this is where I'm going to hang out.
Or how about when your dog meets somebody new and they're like, mom.
Mm-hmm.
And they know these people are not good people.
That's right. I was walking down the street one day and he is like, he never does this. And this person passed us going like facing us and passed us. And if he could have bolted, he would have bolted. And I kind of turned around and I was like, and I saw it. I was like, what is it? And I was very cautious because I was like, what is it about this person that is like totally, totally like he does not want to be around. And it was so interesting to me. And he is very discerning. He's like, he has his people he loves. And then he has people that, and I can pick them out because I know the personalities of the people that really kind of like are his people.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting that he does do that. And I really feel like we should listen to them so much more than we do, or some of us do, but more and people should.
You know,
that's right. Take note.
Listen to your gut. I think we've gotten to the point in society we ignore our gut. You know, I have four daughters and I always told them, trust your gut. If you meet somebody and it doesn't feel right, something's off, something's not, trust your gut and run. just bail. It doesn't matter. You know, just listen.
And I feel like that about a lot of different situations and not only people. I feel like our society, we don't listen to our gut enough. And I'm always like, how does it make you feel? Because there are certain things which, you know, somebody will say, why don't you do this? And I'll be, it just doesn't feel right. And they'll be like, well, what do you mean? I'm just like, can't explain it. Just doesn't feel right.
And it turns out true.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It never does. Fails. It turns out true. And I think as a pets are really good at that, but I think if you're truly connected with your pet, your gut is their gut. So there you're like getting that feeling too.
Yep.
Kind of like something is up, like, or something doesn't feel right. And I think that that as, you know, I have a really close friend and she always talks about knowing her human children. Like, you know, when she would go to specialists and the doctor would say to her something and she'd be like, I know them, like something's not right. You know, when I think our pets are the same way, we know how they act. We know what their normal yeah. is. And we've got to be in tune with that.
And follow their lead. They're most likely right.
They're most likely right. And absolutely true. Yeah. Absolutely true. But it was so great speaking to you. And thank you so much for your time. And we'll put some of your information in the chat. And that way people can connect with you and hopefully reach out and you can help some more people and more pets.
Yeah, I would love that. It's so interesting too, when you compare the human and the pet together, and but it can help explain some issues too that might be going on, you know,
that yeah.
it's just a deeper dive. Maybe it isn't showing up right now, but it's giving you a little inkling. And sure enough, it was developing, but it wasn't quite a problem. So you can cut it off at the pass and not have to go down that road, you know,
that's
unless
right.
you're really doing a lot of blood work and you're really into your pet health. You might not know their sugar is a little bit too high and you need to switch their food, or you need to give them a bone with some good marrow once a week, or, you know, maybe it's in the water that's affecting them. Maybe they're not drinking enough and they're not hydrated enough, which is triggering other issues because they don't like the quality of the water.
Right.
So it's just a nice way to tune in a little deeper.
No, and I love that. So hopefully we'll have some pet people out there and some people who maybe for themselves decide that this is something, and which I, you know, I think is very worthwhile, which is something that is not very complicated to do. It's not invasive. Like, you don't have to get your blood drawn.
Right.
And, you know, so it's not invasive in that way. And it's really very simple. And so that's, I love things that are simple yet useful.
Go back really to the new. Basics. Yeah. You know, well, the basics of drinking water, healthy food, lots of rest. Like you said, unplug.
Unplug. You know? And
I'm just looking back to the very beginning in the cell. That's where everything begins. So let's just reverse engineer and figure out what's going on. And then the symptoms go away because your body is amazing at healing itself.
It is, if we give it the right tools.
Right. Exactly. Animals too. Mm-hmm. They just can't say it out loud.
Talk. That's right.
That's our job.
That's our job. Talk. And they communicate it in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I really appreciate your time and having me on. And I look forward to helping anybody that's looking for some more answers.
Great. Thank you.
Yes. You have a good day. Thank you, Jan.
And thank you. Have a good one too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Pets, People, Life and Longevity, part of the Exvadio Podcast Network. You can catch every episode at exvadio.com/podcasts, the Apple Podcasts app, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Audible, and wherever you find podcasts.